Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grovecast needs your support, so please head over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast to find out what cool stuff you get for as little as 17 cents a day. Yes, only 17 cents a day gets you some amazing stuff. Thank you so much for your support. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place to be. If you're living in 1863, my name is Mark, and I am on tonight with Susan King. How are you, Susan?
I'm wonderful. Welcome, welcome, everybody, and all the new people. Gosh, there's been so many new people.
Yeah, we've had a decent influx of chuckleheads who who are listening to the show and visiting us on Facebook. So that's, you know, it's always great to see another new face. You know, we've had more of the cast, I guess, coming. And joining, which is really great.
Yes, and, we have. Who's our newest cast member?
Dean Stanton. No. It's Dean Butler.
It is! Almanzo!
Well, you know, I... by the time this episode comes out, you will have heard a certain interview I had with Lucy Lee Flippin, who, where we discussed the origin of that, and she reveals something I've never heard of before, which is a truth. It's a truth that maybe is only until it's released on Walnut Grovecast, it will only be a truth that is between Dean Butler and Lucy Lee Flippin.
I'm intrigued.
It was, you know, right now I'm announcing that it was an exclusive. It's a past exclusive.
Okay. Well,
but at this point, it's no longer an exclusive.
Well, there you go.
But so today we will be reviewing the episode Men Will Be Boys.
Yes, that title was true in 1978. It was true in 1878, and it's going to be true in 2078. Men Will Be Boys. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. Is that a bumper sticker? I'm just saying, Susan King. Just saying. You should, yeah, you should make a Walnut Grove cast bumper sticker. Just says, I'm just saying.
I'm just
saying. Susan King.
Famous quotes. Yeah. Well, Susan King. I didn't originally come up with that. I don't know where I got that from. One of my seven science.
This is episode 10 in season 5.
It is.
This came out in 1978, if anybody can remember back then. November 13th, 1978. I believe it was Friday the 13th. I'm just kidding. No, I don't know. I have no idea.
No, by this point in the series, it would have been on
Sunday,
Monday.
Right? Monday?
Monday, yeah. The beginning, it was on Wednesdays, and then they flipped it to Monday. So I think by the Monday. Albert came along, it was on Monday. So written by Dan Balick. And directed by Bill Claxton. And it is the 100th episode of Little House. So that's a milestone.
What I wonder is if they did any type of thing where it's like, you know, tune in, blah, 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 it's 100th episode. Blah. Why didn't they do a flashback episode?
I don't know, but I'm sure they probably had a party. I'm seeing, and I'm sure you have too, and all the listeners, black and white pictures from the set.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrating birthday parties, and that's pretty typical for a set to celebrate a 100th episode. It is a milestone.
I've been buying a lot of Little House on the Prairie artifacts outside of eBay. Like I've six people who I've been working with, and they have collections that they're finally allowing to get rid of a lot of stuff, and they seem to have a lot of stuff that I wasn't aware was available publicly. So, yeah.
I'm jealous.
And one of the things that I couldn't afford, we're talking, you know, something in the upwards of about $1,500, $1,600, is one of these type of things where he would have a party and everybody in the cast would receive a type of token of thanks. And this is like some type of, I'm not sure exactly what it is. I'll just call it a trophy, but I don't think it is. But I didn't even want to get into it because if I'm not buying it, I really don't care about things.
Right.
But I've spent a pretty good amount of money in the past couple of weeks buying up a lot of autograph stuff, a lot of stuff that I hate to say I have zero interest in keeping. So this is all stuff that is going to get repurposed and given to the supporters of Walnut Grove. So.
Please don't tell me that you found the Little House belt buckle. You know I'm salivating for that. Did you find a Little House
I could
belt
ask
buckle?
One. No, no belt buckle. But I do have a collection of belt buckles. This is from the 70s. I have like a lot of rock and roll ones. I don't think those are Little House thing. But I am buying a few things that were actually owned and used on the show. So that's pretty
cool. Okay.
For instance, props. Props. And I'm actually having shipped to my house the Ingalls fireplace. No, I'm kidding. But the wooden mantle piece where, yeah.
No, that's in the museum.
No, I'm
you
kidding around.
You can't psych me on that.
but I am getting a lot of cool stuff. And aside from one particular record that's autographed by Michael Landon, I got a few of those. I'm going to be getting rid of these. So if you're interested in supporting Walnut Grove, go to patreon.com/ I think probably patreon.com/ Walnut Grovecast. That's probably right. I'm going to guess it's right.
Absolutely. Not only support the podcast, but maybe get something awesome.
Yeah, I haven't decided how I'm going to get rid of this stuff. I'm thinking. Each person should, every single person who supports the show in any single way should have the right to, get involved in winning one of these. But I hate the whole idea of winning something. It just makes you feel like a circus performer. So the juices are flowing, don't make, a joke, and we will, we'll figure it out. But I have no interest in keeping this stuff, so it's like it's going to definitely be sent and given to the fine people who listen, like you.
Yeah, you were talking about that record, didn't you? Love all of those YouTube videos that I put up.
Yeah,
on the
you posted
Facebook
a bunch
page.
Of those cool
yeah,
things.
Yeah, aren't those a hoot?
Yeah, those are interesting.
The man could sing. I didn't know he could sing, and the first time I heard him sing. Was right after he had passed away and NBC had put together that Remembering Michael Landon thing. And there was a little part in it where he was singing Shenandoah. And I just went, holy shnikey. I, of course, it was back in the days of VCR. So I recorded it and then I played it back and I called Gina, my girlfriend, of course, who else would I call? And I was like, girl, listen to this. It was like, oh my God. His voice was just like silk. I mean, he wasn't Frank Sinatra or anything, but the man could sing.
No, so your friend's name is Sheena.
Gina.
G-I-N-A. Oh, Gina. Okay.
That's my BFF that I go all the way back to fourth grade with.
Does she listen to the show and goof on you?
Yeah, she's on. Yeah, she's on the Facebook, the Walnut Grove page.
Oh,
yeah. All right. Yeah.
She's a lurker.
Yes.
Well, hello, Gina.
Hey, girlfriend. Hey, my BFF.
Now we're watching you.
So yeah, that's right.
Might even call you out, you know, or bring her on to bring her onto the show. You know, maybe you and her do a show. That'd be kind of fun.
Well, she's not a Little Houser like I am. Her favorite one is the one where Carolyn's leg gets messed up. But
I can't watch that show. I hate that episode so much.
And Remember Me, I forced her about 15 years ago. I said, girl, you got to sit down and watch this episode with me. It's a two-parter. And I forced her to watch Remember Me because that's in my top three. And she was just like,
oh, my God.
Yeah. So she doesn't know it like the back of her hand like I do. But, yeah.
So I just want to mention, this is a very beloved episode. A lot of people really like this particular episode. I kind of like it. It's not... You know, it's not one of my top 10, but it's watchable. It's easy to watch. Yeah. It's goofy. It's got the goofy music. And, but it's fun to watch. It does go by very quickly, unlike this episode of Walnut Grove Cast. So,
right.
So I say we jump right into it. And,
it's too late. No, let's jump.
I'm going to have to put like warnings. It's like skip ahead to 10 minutes to get to the actual friggin' show.
Let's go back to 1878.
Yeah, going back to the world of wagon wheels.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I did buy, having nothing to do with Little House, is I bought a can of, just a can. I collect a lot of strange artifacts like this. I forget what company it was. They're not around anymore, but it's wagon wheel paint. That was,
I love it.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. So
I love that.
All right.
Where it actually says wagon wheel on the outside.
Yeah. It's called, it says it's for wagon wheels and something else. I forget what it is.
I just saw that on American Pickers or something where they were going through an old barn and there was a can that said wagon wheel paint. So cool.
Those guys are hilarious because the one guy is like, I want to basically rip this lady off for everything she's got, you know?
Right.
And he really can't act like that, you know, because it's like your ratings will go down. And the other guy's like, well, all right, I was going to, you know, buy this bicycle for you for $5, but let me show you what it's really worth. That would never happen.
I know, but I love that show. I kind of got a crush on the little chubby guy with the.
That's what I mean. That guy, I mean, that's the guy who, if he's making an offer on something, you should quadruple it. And then maybe quickly look it up on eBay or something, because that guy's looking to rip you off. I wouldn't let that guy park a car.
Every time they call one of their expert friends, I always think, well, why would those people that are total strangers trust you when you're calling one of your expert friends? It's like, let me tell you how much it's really worth.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
All right. But okay. Here we go. we're going to get into the gist of the show right here.
All righty.
A whole bunch of wood for you. More than two cords.
I'll load it tomorrow.
More than two cords? That's a lot of wood.
That's a lot of wood.
When I was a kid, we used to get a cord delivered, and it was only for show because we never burned any of it. And it would last like 5 years until it just like all fell apart, and then we'd get another cord, you know. And it was, you know, a huge, like maybe 5 foot diameter, no, maybe not 5 foot, maybe 3 foot diameter whole circle of wood.
Well, they're at that age. The testosterone's going. They're making some money, so.
Maybe.
You know.
Breed.
As much a day's work as a man could expect, especially from a couple of young'uns.
Thank you, Mr. Calder.
We never see Mr. Calder again, right?
Of course not.
Yeah. Or his greasy hair.
The boy.
Right.
I got that north pasture to start clearing. If you mind to.
Yes, sir.
Same wages, 20 cents a day each.
We'd like that fine.
These boys don't sweat.
I expect both bright and early tomorrow. For you?
Thank you.
Best you boys be running on. You'll be late for supper.
Bye, Mr. Calder. See you tomorrow.
Slave wages.
Right?
Like he's a shiny penny for you and a half a penny for you.
Right. What is the equivalent of that in today's money?
What did
20 cents?
What did they get paid?
20 cents a day. No, 20 cents. Yeah, 20 cents a day, I guess. So that would have been $1 a week if they worked 5 days a week.
The 20 cents in 1878.
I can't remember my money now.
Yeah, me either.
$1 was the equivalent to $21 now, I think. So what would 20 cents be?
Well, this is interesting, though. Back in 1878, though, I didn't know this. Wow, I have to look at this. They were 20-cent pieces. So that's kind of interesting.
I wonder how much those would be worth now. They obviously don't mint them anymore.
Yeah, but I didn't even know that they made them.
I didn't either.
Well, that's cool. My thing. I used to have that thing where it's like, we could type in, what the heck's going on around here? So
I don't know.
I'm trying to find the thing. I'll play the next clip and then I'll let you know what 20 cents is worth in 1878. So here we go.
So the boys walk home and they're talking about their money.
Yes. And we get to the Ingalls house and we think immediately, mm-hmm. what are they doing? They're talking about Albert behind their back. Talking about Albert behind his back.
Talking smack.
It's partially my fault. I've been so busy doing my work, I haven't been keeping an eye on him, making sure he's doing his chores.
Well, I think it's time we got to settle once and for all.
Well, don't you worry, I will. Thank you, Gary.
But you were cooking halfway up the road. Raise a bear. Andy and me must have chopped and stacked over 2 cores today. Something the matter?
How about I'd like you to go upstairs, take a look at your part of the loft, please?
Why?
Just do it.
Sure.
What's taking them so long? I mean, come on, the place isn't that big, you know.
Right.
Okay.
Three stairs.
Is there anything wrong?
Wrong? Nope. Just the way I left it.
Well, that happens to be our problem.
Huh?
Bed isn't made. The whole place is a mess.
And it's starting to smell bad.
Well, but I like it that way.
It smells just like when I used to live under the stairs.
Maybe I shouldn't leave food lying around, but... like making the bed. It doesn't make sense. I have to mess it up when I go to sleep, and... Well, that's practically the only time I'm up there.
Albert, when this many people live in such a very small house... Well, if one person is deliberately messy, then everyone suffers.
Not really.
Keeping your part of the house neat is one of the rules around here.
Sure, but...
No buts.
Look.
Look? You want to look?
That's the Barack Obama method right there. Look. Listen. Holy cow. This kid would get a whooping.
Stay with me. We're going to look. I know you've been neglecting your chores outside, too. I want you to take a look at this chicken coop.
You mean, you really expect me to do all that besides putting in a hard day's work?
Well, of course I do. I never asked you to put in a hard day's work at somebody else's place. What do you want to work all the time for anyway? Summer vacation.
Well, isn't vacation a time when people do what they want?
Exactly. Of course it is.
Then why shouldn't I work if that's what I want?
Well, no reason at all. As long as you do your chores, you keep the loft clean. Now, come on, clean up the coop.
Do you have to do those kinds of things when you come home from a day's work?
Of course I don't.
Why?
Because it's different, that's why.
In what way?
Albert, try to understand. I'm supporting a family. I'm doing a man's work.
Is chopping firewood man's work?
Sure.
It's clearing the...
I think we're seeing where this is all going. So, he doesn't want to clean because it's women's work. And he doesn't want to... You know, he wants to be treated like a man because he just happens to have spent one day doing something as a man.
Right. I made it through one day. Now I'm a man. No, it doesn't quite work that way.
So we go a couple miles away to, I always forget the name, Jonathan's...
the Garvey.
Yeah, the Garvey's house. And we take a listen.
No.
Alice, looking back. Even before I was as old as Andy, I was already doing a man's work. The boy ain't no different than me.
Oh, yes, he is.
Well, how?
When you were his age, there was no school. You didn't have to stop being a man at the end of every summer and go back to being a boy. A boy with schoolwork and chores.
The boys understand that this is just for the summer. Ain't that right, son?
Well, not getting educated didn't hurt you none, Pa. Can't see why it wouldn't hurt me neither.
There.
You're a complete illiterate mess.
Exactly. Can't see why it wouldn't hurt me neither.
So weird.
You see?
Now, what's that supposed to mean?
I've been meaning to talk to you about it.
About what?
Well, since I can do a man's work, I don't see no need to go back to school.
Any need. Now, you see the kind of idea you put into his head?
I did no such thing. Son, when I was your age, There weren't no schools.
I think we see where this is going as well. So,
except he's not as eloquent as Albert. Albert can argue with a stick.
Yeah, Andy's more of a whiner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not. It's like, hey, just shut up.
Well, and he's not a quick thinker like Albert, which is what kind of made me scratch my head when I was taking notes on this episode. I won't really talk about it right now because it'll be a spoiler, but it's kind of like Albert is pretty worldly. He's had to be because he was supporting himself. So naturally, he's going to be able to argue and figure, and he's a quick thinker. And we all know in school that he's, you know, 10 times, I hate to say smarter, but, you know, he's just a very, he's just a very different kid from Andy. Andy's kind of immature and, you know, and Albert's a little man of the world.
So just like Ralph Cramden and Norton, Jonathan and Charles come up with a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Knock a hole in the way a swelled up young man's feeling about himself. Mother Nature kind of has a way of doing that, Charles. You know, it wasn't until a couple of years later I found out that my pa had followed me those 3 days.
Jonathan's talking about a time that he made a deal with his father, I believe, to go to go and travel by himself, and he found out that his father actually followed him. And
right,
just to make sure no hurt come to me.
I think that's it.
I think that's what?
Put the boys through something like you went through.
You mean kind of like a test?
Sure. But you know that road to Sleepy Eye. Well, that winds around some of the roughest country in the state. Have we sent the boys?
Not sure.
So this the distance between Sleepy Eye and Walnut Grove is only about 40 miles in real life. And it's a real straight path, even back in those days. So I'm imagining, I think this journey that they're about to take, and is a little bit of a spoiler, takes about 3 days, right?
Right.
That doesn't seem quite right. Because you could probably handle 40 miles in 2 days, maybe. Seems a little bit, you know, even if you're just moseying along, you can cover, you know, 15 miles.
Well, but I guess, you know, if they did it 24 hours a day, yeah, but they stop, they sleep, they eat, they, you know, do all that. So,
you know, if they're doing it for like 8 hours a day, you know, I don't know. I'm thinking they could do that. Shouldn't be that bad.
40 divided by.
If they're walking five, 24? I mean, if they're walking 5 miles per hour, which is actually too fast, 2 miles an hour, right? I mean,
right.
They can get it done. It'd be they can get it done. They're kids; they can run for one of the miles.
True.
So we find that they propose to Albert and Jonathan's son, who I always forget,
Andy. Forgettable.
Some of these people, I don't know why I'll never remember. By the way, 20 cents is about $5.
Oh, okay.
A little bit less, but it's still not that great, you know?
No.
They propose to do this and let the boys walk the trail to Sleepy Eye. And basically, you know, there they go. We get the goofy music, which I think is the best part of the show, to be honest with you. I think.
Mm-hmm. The marching music.
Yeah, the light skirt. This is also a couple weeks before. This is a couple weeks before the before Thanksgiving, before all the big holidays. It's kind of a weird time when it comes to TV shows. It's probably the most active time in a lot of TV shows, right?
Right. Yeah, probably so. And I love Charles' optimism. They're going to be home for supper. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sure they are.
So here we find the motives behind some of the street smarts versus character building.
Yes.
We're far enough in. We're safe.
Safe for what?
To go back to the road. What else?
What?
You don't really expect me to go through all that just to get to Sleepy Eye?
Of course you do.
Are you crazy? We can pick up a ride on a wagon and be there before sundown tomorrow.
Not a chance.
Look, we pick up the letter, fish or something for a few days, and we come back the same way.
We're not cheated, and that's that.
Who's to know?
I'm to know, that's who. And you're to know.
Oh, don't grow up, will you? That's what we're supposed to be doing by taking this on. But all we have to do is make it look good.
Albert, we made a deal. And I'm sticking to it.
Well, I'm not. Fine, you catch your wagon to Sleepy Eye, but not with me. Andy, where are you going?
Make up your mind, Albert. Either we stick to the deal, or I'm turning around right now and go back and tell everybody that we were too scared to go through with it.
You do that.
Try me.
All right, we do it your way. How could anybody be so dumb?
Now, on their backs, they also have some very period-correct 19th-century rucksacks, which I think are pretty cool. You know, these are just like your basic leather. They look handmade. They look pretty good.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they really do. I love it. Albert saying, grow up. Come on, grow up. Be a cheater and a liar. Take the easy way out. Grow up.
And a big part of this, one of the big parts about this entire thing is that they wanted to prove that they didn't have to do chores anymore, that they were considered men, mm-hmm. and that the cleaning and everything was real women's work. You know, that right. was brought up in the beginning. So let's remember that when we're talking about this at the end. What kind of message we're trying to really nail home, you know, get across to the people who are watching this at home. So
the Little House lesson.
So Jonathan and Charles are not the spring chickens that they once thought they were just a couple seasons ago.
So, no.
Here they are talking a little bit about in their beautiful clear green sky background. Basically, they're trying to just kind of keep up.
Figure they ought to get a little discouraged by now, huh?
The sooner the better. My stomach started to growl.
No need for that. There you go.
Jerky.
Well, not bad.
And this is where, actually, you know, it gets kind of sad at this point, because we get to the clearing and we see a bear that is mauling Albert, and actually mauling Albert with Andy's head in his left paw. And it's not like a regular bear. It's actually Sasquatch.
Did Doc Baker sew them back together?
It's funny because you see a wagon driving away, and I swear that's Doc Baker's wagon. So, you tell me.
Nothing I can do here.
So they hear the screaming. They run there, and they see that there's really no reason. Well, I'll just play it a little bit. Yeah. They go in skinny dipping, fully clothed. Right. So they're basically jumping in the water, having fun, and why not? You know, there's nothing else to do. It's 3 days.
Exactly.
So they're really, Charles and Jonathan are just kind of like really nervous Nellies about all of this. And they finally decide that they're going to keep following. You know, they thought that the boys would give up by this point.
Right. And, I've never seen another episode where Michael Landon had so many expressions of I'm pissed.
Yeah, he's really grumpy. He's very, very grumpy there. Yes. Well, we'll hear it in his voice.
Smell those fish cooking.
Yeah, that's all I've been smelling. Them two ain't suffering much hardship yet, are they?
Well, they will. A little longer than we figured, that's all.
Wish I had a cold.
What?
Said I wish I had a cold. Wouldn't smell it. Fish fry.
As silly as it's getting, you'll get your wish. You get a nice cold, you won't smell anything.
Ain't working out like we planned it. You're supposed to be home for supper by now, Charles.
Would you not talk about that, please? Just don't talk about it. Thank you.
That's kind of funny.
Oh, my God.
Do you recall them ever serving fish? In Little House. Do you ever see them eating it?
Well, they did on the camp out, of course.
No, but I mean at home. It's never. It's always like the chicken nugget looking stuff and corn.
Right. Yeah, it's always the KFC chicken. And scoops but that's interesting that you say that because they. How many episodes did they have where Laura had a string of fish, where right. Charles was catching fish in the fish trap? But
going down to the creek.
Right. I don't ever remember seeing them eating fish at the table. It was always a KFC. And the Denny Moore beef stew.
Yeah. There you go. So time goes on and on and on, and Charles and Jonathan are just miserable. So here they are, because it's getting cold, of course.
Oh, so why would you take a chance to spot it?
I think I jumped on that. He said, let's build a fire, and said, we can't take a chance of the boys spotting that.
You know, the next time you start reminiscing about your boyhood, you just keep it to yourself, all right?
Charles, you know this idea of a test was your idea.
And you know I got the idea for the test from that silly story you're telling me about you. Let's not argue about it. Just go to sleep. They're bound to give up by tomorrow.
Night, Charles. I don't know what's going
on. Two dum-dums.
Right.
So they check on the boys the next day, which, well, you know what? I'm just going to skip on the whole thing to the point where the boys are just like, I don't even want to eat this fish. Adults are always making us eat fish. They call it brain food.
Right.
And they were like, well, why don't we, you know, set up a trap and, you know, catch, you know, something else like a rabbit. So here they go. They finally have caught a rabbit. It's a cute rabbit, sort of.
It's darling. It's a little fluffy baby.
Yeah. Is that really what a rabbit sounds like, by the way?
Yes. Ugh. Yes. Yeah, that's what a rabbit sounds like. You don't want to know why I know that.
Charles, I don't know whether I can even take the smell of cooking rabbit.
So you get a close-up of the bunny sniffing?
Have you ever cleaned one of these?
Nope. Must be just like cleaning a fish.
Nah, yeah. Hardly.
Well, I cleaned a fish last night. You better do it. Me?
Guess we're not eating.
I never killed a rabbit before. Neither have I. I just can't do it.
I can't do it either.
Might as well let him go.
Aww. Let him go.
I think we got him now.
So Charles and Jonathan, of course, are very happy that the boys decided to just let the rabbits go.
If it had been them, they'd have been chopping that rabbit's head off faster than I don't know what.
Well, I think most 19th century kids would, you know. It's
right.
Just part of the territory.
They're sensitive.
But the boys are kind of low, a little bit low on energy and a little bit getting kind of hungry. And that's when Andy stumbles across a bush of stuff.
Albert! What is it?
Berries, hundreds of them.
Jonathan and Charles, who have not eaten in a good day and a half or so, right. See the boys loading up on the berries and, you know, keeping some for the walk, and they're doing a great job, actually. They're harvesting the berries, and Charles and go to the berry bush, which is one of the more memorable things I recall.
Yes.
They go to the bush for the scraps, basically.
Oh, berries. Berries.
Them two didn't leave much, did they?
Nope.
It's like one berry.
Right.
Split it.
Split it.
Oh my God.
I love it. Oh, sit down with a plate and a knife and fork and cut it in half. One piece for you, one piece for me. Or they could quarter it. Makes it last longer.
So Albert, being a very street savvy kid, talks Andy into getting room and board. Well, yeah, room, food, and well, I guess board is the room, right? So it's room. Is the board to sleep on? I don't know.
Well, they go to the post office first because they've got to pick up that letter to prove that they're in town.
Right. So they get they pick it up. They pick up. They've accomplished their feat at this point.
And yes, they have.
They decide what they're going to do is con a little old lady into. And it's, you know, it's a relatively harmless con. You know, nobody really gets hurt, and the lady gets to feel good about herself.
Yes. Yep.
They knock on the door of a nice old lady and or ring a bell.
Well, who do we have here?
Sorry to bother you like this, ma'am.
Oh, come in out of the downpour. My gift.
Land sakes, if you ain't a sight.
Sorry to get your floors all wet, ma'am.
Don't worry about the floor. Now, what are you boys doing out on a day like this, huh?
Well, the storm came on us real sudden before we could find shelter.
Well, why didn't you just go home?
Oh. Did you hear that, brother? Yeah.
Well, where are you from? Now, where are your folks?
Our folks?
They're dead, ma'am.
Dead?
Yes, we're orphans. We've been orphans over a month now.
Land sakes.
We lived over Walnut Grove. One night our house caught fire and burned to the ground.
Was it the blind school?
Right.
My brother and me
went down the basement and smoked a pipe.
Right, and we killed his mom.
Exactly.
Jeez.
Wants to get out.
Land sakes.
We got no other family, so we've just been doing for ourselves.
You mean you two are all alone in the world?
Yes, sir.
I declare.
We're down to our last few berries. Folks told us there was a lot of work up in Lafayette. Well, that's where we were heading when the storm hit. We shouldn't be here standing on this kind lady's floor dripping.
We better go.
Not in this rain, you're not. Now you get out of them wet shirts at least. Supper's on the table, and I'll get some towels.
So it is really, it's raining cats and dogs. So Lafayette is another 30 miles away from Walnut Grove. So it kind of makes sense that they would.
Yeah.
Be going that route. So, you know, that's a pretty smart way to go about, you know, talking about all of this.
Oh, yeah. Albert Schuss and his survival skills, that is for sure. Can you imagine if Andy would have come to that house all by himself? I mean, he probably would have just shoved him back out the door.
But right, man, right.
Albert knows how to spin a tail.
Yes, he knows how to flash the big brown eyes.
I'm telling you.
So basically, she serves the boys a ton of food, and I'll just play a little bit of them kind of eating. She's pouring milk, which probably took like 3 days to get that much milk together.
Right.
Can you believe it? Why, they're two little men. Hungry ones, too.
Yep, there's hunger, all right.
Now, would you like a little dessert?
Jesus. I sure would.
Oh, no, Andy. We've been given too much already.
Nonsense. We've got plenty. Rice pudding. You like rice pudding, don't you?
Yes, ma'am. No, please. You've been too kind. Next thing, you'll offer us some of that chocolate cake over there.
And you'll take it with no argument. Do you understand?
So much like Ma, ain't you, Andy?
Yeah, so much like Ma.
Oh, my God.
Buy some of that chocolate cake, too.
I'll get it right now. Regular little man.
They are pissed off.
There's an old man who's always being the old man in movies. And this, the guy who's in this scene looks like him, but I don't see him credited here. somebody who was in everything as like the old man who's always, you know, he was like in Pee-wee's Big Adventure and everything, but I don't see, I don't think it's actually him.
I mean, I recognized him too. I was just like, oh my gosh, I've seen him everywhere, but no, I didn't see him credited either.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's, uncredited or if that's just simply not him. He was the guy who said, and they're hungry too.
You're right.
So Charles is, Charles and Jonathan are watching through the window like two peeping Toms.
Yes. Yeah, it's this story that they give comes out a little twisted.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious.
Finish eating all that food. But they can't pay for it. They're going to be in a mess of trouble.
Yeah, I hope they call a law on them and put a little fear of God in them.
Yeah, it'll still work out perfect, though. We'll let them spend the night in jail. We can come in tomorrow and tell them that we heard and came on the stage. In the meantime, we can get us a warm bed and get out of this rain and get some food. I'm hungry.
All right, that'll teach them a lesson. How much money did you bring?
For what?
For the bed and the food. How much money did you bring? You did bring money.
Charles, I thought you had some money.
I didn't bring any money.
Do something for...
Two broke idiots. Seriously. You didn't leave with like a dollar. Like, come on.
Here you, gentlemen. Constable!
Oh, Constable? Constable, we're just waiting out here for those two little boys to finish eating.
Oh, what?
Well, you see, we've been following those two little boys now for about 3 days now, and we were...
You've been following two little boys for 3 days?
Oh, no, you don't understand.
I hope to St. Francis I don't.
No. You see, those are our little boys in there.
Yeah.
Oh, they're your two little boys.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've been following them for 3 days?
Yeah, it's a little hard to explain.
See, it's kind of like a test.
A test? I expect your boys would recognize you on sight.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, then, let's just go on over and see.
Oh, no. We can't do that. See, it'll spoil everything. We don't want them to see us until they get in trouble.
Until they get into trouble?
Yeah. You see them eating in there? They haven't got any money. They can't pay for it. So as soon as that woman finds that, they're going to get in a lot of trouble.
Charles, looks like they're finishing up in there.
Hey, they're going to get it now.
So basically they don't get in any trouble.
No.
I think it's interesting that this man identified himself as a constable by flashing his collar. I don't think there was any badge or anything.
Yeah.
And a constable, I mean, I don't know if you know what a constable is, but they're usually, you know, from Great Britain or they're really not very prevalent in the U.S. even back in the 19th century.
We got constables here in Texas.
Oh, do you really? Well, yeah, do you know the difference between a constable and like a police officer?
I have no idea. Absolutely none. But constable... I parked next to a constable's car just the other day.
Hmm. That's interesting. Basically,
it's Texas.
A constable, and I'm getting this from online, they may have no duties or legal authority outside of delivering court papers. And in some places, a constable may be the same as a sheriff with jurisdiction in the county. But for the most part, it's the lowest ranking level of a police officer. For the most part.
Okay. So I don't have to get nervous if I see one next to me in traffic. They don't have any authority. Alrighty.
I think it's a step above like public, you know, like in my neighborhood, we have like public, they look like police cars, but basically they work for the county and they just basically drive around to make sure there's no, you know, people of different races walking around. I guess. I don't know. I'm just kidding around. But I mean, I don't know what they're doing. I don't, you know. What are they looking for? I guess I would imagine
they are county related, though. They are, because on the side of our cars it always says Harris County Constable. So yeah, because Harris County is the biggest, you know, county around here. So
and I live in a very diverse area, so I don't want any emails about what I'm just kidding around. But the guy across the street from me, I think his son is one of these like public people or something, like public So he drives around and gives tickets to people.
All righty.
So, all right. Susan@walnutgrovecast.com. So, oh, no. yeah, that's where you can direct get all my email right there and bills.
No, you can have my bills.
So
and my parents' bills.
I'll take it. I don't care. I'll just, you know. So the Charles and Jonathan find a barn to sleep in, but they basically have to clean in order to get there. And it's just one of those things where it's like, holy cow. But the boys, they found a place to be dry and they're warm. And in your notes, even in a cozy bed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles and Jonathan are sleeping in a leaky barn.
Yes.
Which
the
is
rights coming
which,
in.
Which under the right circumstances reminds me of a Prince video. So, basically the next morning, the boys begin walking back to Walnut Creek. And they have food, they're ready, they're packed, they're ready to go. And they get to a river. They get to a river and they're trying to figure out how to cross the river.
Look at that. That can't be the stream we crossed. Rain must have done it. Well, how are we gonna get across it? Don't know. I have to think of something.
Rain's got that river running high. I think we got a vamp.
Now, they're never going to get across that. They have to go all the way back to Sleepy High and then double around on that road and use the bridge.
We'll just come back and catch them cheating. I think we got them. We're going to starve to death first.
Let's check downstream.
So, being smart kids, they walk down upstream or downstream. I guess they're walking. I didn't look at the direction. They walk down the river, whatever it is.
Right.
And they find a fallen tree. Too. Yeah, they find a fallen tree. And they cross it with really not much of a problem. And in very comic fashion, it's a very visual thing. Charles and Jonathan having no food in them. They're probably dizzy. They probably have pneumonia. They're probably walking pneumonia after the storm. And they probably smell like manure at this point. They fall in and eventually make it to shore. So the aftermath of that is always funny to listen to.
Yes.
Throw me a hat.
Oh, whoops. I'll play it.
Sorry. No.
They get out. And, you know, it seems like Jonathan and Charles are like city boys. So they fall in the water and it's like they've never gotten out of a river before.
Charles, I'm sorry I grabbed you.
You owe me a hat.
These two.
That's the part that cracked me up. That's why I clipped that particular thing, like, you owe me a hat.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
So
I love how slow they're following the boys. It's like Jonathan and Charles are like in this little segment. They're just practically limping, following these kids. They're going so slow. What is going on here? They're chewing on wild onions to get something to eat. I mean, they're just pitiful.
So I think I'm sorry. Go on.
That's what I meant earlier. It's like Charles really didn't think this out. Hello. Where was Albert when they found him? I mean, granted, if it hadn't been for Charles always catching him, he had been living in Dakota Territory in that town for a while and had been surviving. So obviously this kid has got survival instincts out the yaya.
Yes.
And yeah, hello, Charles didn't think, ooh, he's going to be in the woods. Please, this kid was surviving in the city and trying to get food and scrounging for lamps and lanterns and
so I thought that this upcoming scene could have been better. Basically, the boys are eating. They stop. They set up camp, and they're eating the food that they were given. I'll play.
Me neither. Let's try that way. Can't be far off track.
Carried so far downstream.
I hope we can pick up this trail pretty quick.
We'll just keep pushing on general direction. Hope we spot the campfire.
I'll be glad when this is over. Oh, my whole foot's just one big blister.
Yeah. You know, I still don't think we came this way.
Oh, what's the difference? We're most of the way back already. Hell, I was here again.
Yeah.
What was that?
What? I heard something. There it is again.
Just some animal. He won't come near the fire.
Yeah. That's right.
Bet our folks are gonna be surprised tomorrow. I don't think they figured we could do it.
I had that feeling myself.
And look at us now. Wasn't easy, but wasn't all that hard either. How many boys are each gonna get?
Not many. Not many grown-ups.
Speaking of which, did they mention how old they are here? I forgot.
I'm
like 12 or something.
Yeah, I think they're 12.
Okay.
Neither. Right. We handled everything just right. Even that story about us being orphans. Well, that's all part of it. Wound up making us feeling good and her feeling good. He handled your part just right too. Not as good as you.
Stood there like a dope. What do you mean? Yeah, that's true.
The whole point is, I think we proved that we can take on just about anything life hands us.
So you get the wild man, you get like the crazy random guy out of nowhere with his tongue sticking out.
Right? I know, I noticed that too. It's like, what is with your tongue?
Yeah,
like... What's back in your mouth?
So the boys run away, and this we get a nice close-up shot of this man eating a corn cob. So I'm gonna skip that part.
Yeah, let's just pass right over that.
It's like eating dinner with like you know. I'm not gonna go.
Obviously, the lady at the bed and breakfast or whatever it was she had, I mean, she just packed them up a boatload of food. So they've been eating high off the hog the whole time.
But the boys just get up and run. They leave all their possessions and they're like, let's just get out of here. It's not worth it. And Charles and Jonathan come across the camp and it's in disarray and the boys are missing.
Yep.
I don't know what's happened here. Albert! Andy! Charles. It's the letter. I wouldn't have left that behind unless something terrible happened here.
Yeah.
He's wasting our time trying to find him in the dark. Let's get the town out of a search plane.
So we're back at the Ingalls house, and it's been probably about a week, right? 6 days or so?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like nice that just up and leave for, you know, a week. That's just
right.
Crazy.
Carolyn?
Alice? They're back? Oh, Charles.
And the whole family comes running out. And, I'll let them just kind of finish this, their thoughts here.
Worry, we lost the... boys. Well, we're going to get a search party out. And we're
Charles, gonna... we weren't worried about the boys. They've been back for hours.
We were worried about you.
Oh, thank God.
What happened to you?
It's a long story. Where are they?
In the barn. We heated some water for a bath. I just told them that you got worried and went looking for them.
Come on.
Bunch of dummy dum-dums.
But, Carolyn covering up for Charles.
Yep. I lied to them, Charles. Don't worry. I didn't.
Exactly.
I'm not going to let your secret out.
I didn't blow your cover.
Oh, my God.
Shame
so
on her.
They go in there where the boys are basically cleaning themselves up.
We don't have any proof, but we got all the way there and back. And we picked up the letter, too. Yeah, but we lost it.
Lost the letter, huh?
Yeah. I don't blame you for not believing us. We failed the test.
That's the letter you lost?
How'd you get that? You followed us?
Yeah. See, we never figured you'd make it in the first place, so we thought we'd better keep an eye on you just in case you got in trouble. We wanted to teach you a lesson.
We felt like we were doing it for your own good. You surprised us by keeping your side of the bargain. Well, we'll keep our side of it, too. From now on, you'll be treated like men.
Didn't think I meant that much to you.
Aww.
Of course you do.
That goes for me, too, son.
You know, Paul?
Hope so.
I don't care so much about being a man just yet.
It goes the same for me, son. It's like, well, don't have an original thought or anything. Jeez.
He is, after all, your son that you've had since he was born. Hello. Yeah.
So we have the classic Laura voiceover. Laura's barely in this episode too, so it's kind of a weird one.
Right.
No one's in this episode. This is a very, very tiny cast.
Yes.
Things were a lot different after that. Andy decided to go back to school. And Albert figured it was more fun to go fishing than work all summer. Especially with Pa.
What weird music, right?
And they march over the hill, triumphantly going to catch fish.
Yes, so
another Ingalls crisis is solved.
Yes, and they still don't eat fish, so
they're still going to whiff out the KFC at every meal.
Well, Susan, thank you very much for getting together for this episode of Walnut Grove Cast.
Welcome.
If you're if you're listening to this podcast and you feel like you want more of the episodes, or you want to listen to the very old episodes, the first few couple seasons. One cool thing I decided, I was just kind of going over older episodes, and one thing that I think that would be more suitable is to go backwards and grab the interviews that I did with people and just make sure those are always available to people, like the Allison Arngrim and the other ones, because right now they're not available, and I feel like maybe they should be.
Okay.
So I'm going to make those particular ones available, and I, for the most part, I'm keeping the past 15 episodes available to download, but you can access all of them just by, you know, supporting us for just a few bucks at patreon.com/WalnutGroveCast. And, you know, we have all types of cool stuff when you join. Birthday cards and giveaways. Oh, and
that's right, it's worth it just for the My Ellen and the Meet Me at the Fair episodes alone. Those were my addictions. I must have listened to those at least 15 or 20 times a piece. They're my favorites. I love those.
Yeah, those and you know, we're going to have other guest co-hosts and people trying different things. Chris Hassler is going to come popping back onto the show. He had a great time when the three of us, did the show a few months ago. And, all in all, 2019 is ramping up to be a very active and wonderful year for Walnut Grove Cast. So,
yes, it is.
But thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much, Susan, for getting together. And I'm just going to click on this outro thing from the show.
All righty. Bye, everybody. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening.
It's dun 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 ent. This could be like a Brady Bunch theme song.
Right.
classic. World Vision Enterprises.
Living under a general store in the town of Mankato, a time before MTV, cell phones, or the radio. Spotted me, lent a helping hand, said, "Come on, son, let's go." "Where are we going?" "We're going to Walnut Grove."
It's free.